So this morning, if you have your Bibles, I want to ask that you would take those and you would turn with me to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 14. From frustration to faith, please. Faith is such an important part of our everyday lives. Amen? Or oh me. Think about that for just a moment. Where is faith in reference to who you are as a man, woman, or child who has confessed Jesus as Lord and Savior? How important is faith to you? Is it real? Is it something that you can hold on to, or is it kind of make-believe because you really have not moved or transitioned from that part of faith where it's something that you can't see into something that you can definitely see and hold on to? I know a lot of us, when we talk about faith, it's always, especially as believers, we gear it towards our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the very reason we've gathered this morning. Amen? And we're thankful for our faith. We're thankful for Jesus. We're thankful for the sacrifice that was made. But I want to share with you, every man, woman, or child on the face of the earth, they have some kind of faith. It exists for everybody. You just have to understand the differences in what their faith is in. I know as a child, we raise our children and they begin to cry, and that child may not at that moment realize that cry gives the parents exactly enough information for them to go and check on the child and make sure that it's okay. Whether its diaper needs to be changed, whether it needs to be fed, the child eventually begins to realize that when it cries or asks for something, that mom or dad typically takes care of that need. And then as we begin to transition, we grow, you and I, in every area of our lives, we have faith in something or someone outside the realm of Christianity or our belief in Jesus Christ. I have faith that no matter what, my wife is going to love me through thick and thin. As a matter of fact, for 19 years, she has loved me through thick and thin. You know, everyone has some kind of faith. And for the atheist, they put their faith in something also. You realize that. People who doubt, people who don't believe, their faith so many times is in their doubt. I'm confident that I'm right, that there is no God. You know, the question I always have for those individuals whose faith is in doubt or whose faith is in their ability, their wisdom, the question I have for them is, are you willing to stake your life on it? And I want to tell you, I've been in those situations where I've been talking to individuals who were professed atheists a couple of different times, as a matter of fact, and I've asked them, are you willing to stake your life on it? And one of them said, yes, because I'm absolutely confident that when I die, I go into nothingness. There's nothing left. I'm just dead. That's all there is to it. But sometimes you can spark a little bit of... You can help someone to begin to think through, well, maybe I'm not quite confident in my wisdom. Maybe I'm not quite confident that there is no God. And they begin to question, well, what if I am wrong? And we can help them understand, if you're wrong when you die, you're going to hell without Jesus Christ. Amen? And so everybody has some kind of faith. The Muslim has faith in a God. But you have to understand the faith they have is not in our Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding the difference between all other foreign religions and the difference between the one true God, that contrast is literally the difference between life and death. And I want you to be able to see that this morning as we look at the scripture, as we talk about the difference between law and the difference between faith. I pray that you begin to understand, that you get that big picture of the importance of faith in your life. And not only do you get that big picture, but then something drastic has to happen for you, and that is this. Faith has to become so real that it moves from something that you just believe to something that you act upon. And that's what I'm praying for after this message, or while we're sharing God's word this morning, that God will begin to speak to your hearts, that you begin to realize the importance of your faith and where your faith is pointed. And so with that, there are four things I want to submit to you this morning. I want to ask that you would honor God by standing at the reading of His Word. Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verses 6 through 14. Back up to verse 5, if you will, in your Bibles. Let's begin there. Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Verse 6. Just as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, or credited to him for righteousness. Therefore, know that only those who are of faith are sons of Abraham, and the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentile in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, today as we look into your word, we acknowledge its power. And today, Lord, we ask that you would help us to truly realize that contrast that exists between law and faith. That contrast that even exists between faith. Because so many people in the world focus on their faith in so many different things, yet they fail to focus faith where it's most deserved, and that's upon Jesus Christ. So today, Father, as your word goes forth, I pray that it will not return void, but that you would begin even now to speak to the hearts of those who have gathered, to help us move from frustration to faith. Asking it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are four things this morning that I want to share with you concerning faith. And I want you to just think just for a moment. In your life, your walk with Christ, have there been moments in your life where it has felt like it is the most important thing? It's the strongest thing that you've ever experienced. It's the most powerful thing that you've ever experienced in your life. Has your faith ever been there where it's just a dynamic kind of faith? Have you ever had that kind of faith, church? Any of you ever had that kind of dynamic faith? Amen? Raise your hand. Oh, me? Well, what about just the opposite of that? Have any of you ever been where you're walking and you're trying to live by faith and not by sight, but you've just felt weak in your existence as a human? You've just felt weak in your existence as a man who, or woman or child who has claimed Jesus as Lord and Savior? Has there ever been those moments where your faith has just been weak? Yeah, I think we're all there sometime or another, right? I think the most important thing for you to know as believers is that Christ really did die on an old rugged cross. But listen, it's not about the death that was experienced on the cross. It's about the resurrection that was experienced after the cross. He's alive and well today. And the great thing about you and I knowing that He's alive and well is that He dwells in our hearts as believers. And this morning, as we look at this, we're talking about faith. I want you to see that faith is not something that is new. Faith has been around for a very, very long time. And we're going to see today that even the Old Testament prophets, patriarchs, they had their faith in a risen Lord whose name is Jesus as well. And we've seen that through the Scripture already as we've read through. But four things, and the first thing that I submit to you this morning as we move from frustration to faith is this, that Abraham was saved by faith. Abraham was saved by faith. Verse 6 and 7, we'll talk about it in just a minute. As Paul begins, he's quoting Moses in the Old Testament. Genesis is where Paul is quoting. And he's talking about God's righteousness was placed on Abraham's account. There was a reason for it. It was something special about this belief that Abraham had in God's word. I think that's where our focus needs to be for just a minute as we look at verse 6 and 7, because the believing part of it is so important for you and I. That's that word pistuo that we have discussed in detail before. This word for believing. Look at verse 6, if you will. It says this. That Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. All of a sudden, there's this word that came to Abraham. He heard about it. He was told to get up out of your country and go to a land that I'm going to show you. And I want to tell you, that took great faith for him. Do you believe that? Because you've got to understand, he did not have a GPS system that you and I have today. But what he had is something that I think would be better described as a God-positioning spirit. See, he was being led by the Spirit, and he believed God, that God was going to get him right where he needed to be. He didn't know where he was going, but he believed the Word of God. He believed when he heard that God was going to see him through. He believed. Pistuo. He believed. I think the question has to become for you and I is, do you believe? Because there's so many different things that draw our attention and gather our attention today, and we believe a lot of different tales, and the world focuses on a lot of different word that will send them straight to hell. But the question today has to be, do you believe properly? Is your belief in the real thing? Is your belief in the real God? Or is it that McCoy make-believe God that so many other of the rest of the world believes in? And I share with you, we talk about Hindus. You know, that's they are a religious group. They're a group of people, and Hindus make up about 500 million people. That religion makes up about 500 million people. It's kind of scary when you think about it, isn't it? They make up about 500 different people. 500 million worship this religion, this specific sect. And then there's about 600 million people who are Buddhists. They worship Buddha. 600 million people, over 600 million people. And that's an astronomical number to me. I can't hardly imagine 600 million people. There's 500 million thereabouts that worship one specific religion and many gods. And then there's the Buddhists who are about 600 million and they worship a specific god. And then there's the Muslims, which are over 700 million and growing daily. And they worship a specific god as well. You know, the problem is that they begin to try and convince you that you and I serve the same God. And I want to share with you, it's so important that you know where your belief is. What are you believing? Well, Abraham was saved through faith, but it's him believing God. And understand, it was the one true God, not the false gods of the world that exist today, or not the false gods of the world that existed then. He believed the one true God. And so as we look at the word this morning, this is even what Scripture tells us. Romans chapter 4, verse 11 says this, and he received the sign of circumcision and a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised. Wow. He believed God. He trusted God. And he was obedient. That's the important factor about this believing. See, belief is one thing, right? I can believe something in my mind, but it isn't until I put feet to that belief that it becomes real for you and for me. And I guess the question has to remain is, have you put feet to your belief? Abraham did. He was a man who was uncircumcised, and then he was called to be circumcised. And this was a sign that he was going to follow and be obedient to the one true God. But by faith, He was obedient, believing God. And so it goes on in Romans chapter 4, verse 11, and it goes on and says this, he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of righteousness of the faith which he had while still uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all those who believe. Is that word pisteuo again? That he might be the father of all those who believe. What is it exactly that they're believing in? That's the question. Let's continue on with this. Important. Though they are uncircumcised, that righteousness might be imputed to them also. There's that word, imputed or credited or accounted. And this is where that belief is. Because of the belief Abraham experienced, it was put on his account for righteousness. His belief in God's ability to save him. And so you have to understand, it wasn't that he was anything special. It's that he believed God, the one true God, the God who came and spoke to him. He believed God and he was obedient to God. I think for you and for myself, I think we have to question, continually got to question ourselves, and we've got to make sure that we're believing God. I think at this point in the scripture or where we are right now, what we have to ask is, what are we believing God for? What are you believing God for? I think it's an important question for us to ask ourselves when we look. And the Jewish people, they were very proud of their relationship with Abraham. They were very, very proud of it. The problem with that is they believed because of their relationship with Abraham that they had salvation. And that's not the case. The case is they believe. Even then, even in the Old Testament, you can see that belief was such an important part of this dynasty, religious dynasty, so to speak, called, for then, they were Jews. But today, we transition that because of Jesus to Christianity. Right? And as we begin to look at this, I think the big picture is we've got to understand that we're not guaranteed through salvation without belief, without faith. And so Matthew chapter 3 verse 9, it says this, and do not think to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. For I say to you that God is able to raise up children to Abraham from these stones, Jesus said. It's not about that relationship with Abraham. It's about that faith that Abraham had. And he was saved not by anything other than his faith. I hope you're able to see that through the scripture this morning as we continue on, because that faith is important. And then the second thing is this, that this faith is available for all people. That's what the scripture talks about. As you look at the scripture this morning, verse 8 and 9 say this. It says, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Do you get that? That word for Gentiles, some of your text scriptures say heathen. It just means anyone who is not a Jew, ultimately is what it means. Anyone who is not. So that is literally all the other nations of the world. It doesn't matter if they were Muslim or Indian or it, none of that matters. They're all categorized under that same title as heathen or Gentile, as the scripture will say, every one of us who are not Jews or those chosen people of God. And so he moves on from there as he transitions in the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preach the gospel to Abraham beforehand, saying, did you get that? I've got to read that again. That's powerful. He says, the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith preached the gospel to Abraham beforehand. And here it is. This is saying, in you all the nations shall be blessed. There's that promise. Promise is important. This particular promise is important. In centuries, listen to me, before Jesus died on an old rugged cross, the good news was preached. You've got to be able to wrap your mind around that. And I know that it's difficult because we always talk about the Old Testament and we talk about the law and the Torah and how the Old Testament points to Jesus. But you've got to begin to understand that the Old Testament really does point to Jesus through believing and through faith and through the seed that was going to come. You have to be able to see that the reality of the Scripture as it comes to life for you. You have to see. Jesus has always been proclaimed. Always. Even if his name was not known then, they were still believing that there was a seed going to come from Abraham. A seed from Adam and Eve even in the garden. That seed. That seed is so important. And then the Scripture tells us it was not seeds. It was a seed. One seed. Not seeds. That seed was none other than Jesus Christ. But Galatians 3 verse 16 says this, "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." Wow. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made." He does not say, "And to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to your seed." Listen to this. This is going to be that light that's going to go off in your mind. This is going to be like that wake-up call, almost just like getting smacked in the face. Wow. You know, sometimes we need that spiritually speaking. That seed, who is Christ? That's good stuff. I don't care who you are. That proclamation of the gospel that had taken place. And then we're able to see through the Scripture right here. Paul said, that seed, who is Christ? So the question for you today is, who are you believing? Where is your faith? You don't have to be frustrated because of all the different options for you to choose from when it comes to your religious belief. You can take comfort in knowing that God sent one whose name is Jesus. And Jesus is who you and I must live our lives for. We must come to the point in our relationship with Jesus Christ that he lives through us. Does he live there through you? Is God making himself known to the world through you? It's because God, this kind of faith saves all people. All people. All people? Yeah, all those who believe. All those who believe, this faith, pistis is the word for faith. Pistuo is this word for believe, for believing. And then all people are able to be saved. That transition begins to take place in their heart where finally they realize they've had that slap, so to speak, that spiritual slap. And then they begin to realize God is speaking to their heart and they can see that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus is. And that Jesus, this Jesus, that Jesus, the one who died on that old rugged cross, that one who you and I talk about for every Sunday we gather together, on Wednesdays when we gather together, on Easter, on Christmas, this Jesus, this is the one that because of faith, all peoples of the world are able to be saved. It's about faith, though. In what? What's the object of the faith? Not in the false religions of the world, but in the true reality of one who died a brutal death, was raised from the dead so that you and I could be saved. Friends, I'm telling you, when I say this, it is not an exaggeration. Listen to me. He lives. He's alive. Do you get that? He is not dead. There's nothing dead about Jesus. He was God in the flesh. Let me say this. Not he was. He is God in the flesh. Amen. Anyway, we see that through the Scripture. Abraham and his seed were made the promises. I like that. He doesn't say, "And to seeds as of many, but as of one." Not Hindu, not Buddhist, not Muslim, not Jehovah's Witness. And even as we talk about these things, and those who are listening through the radio, I'm telling you, they need to hear the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? And so the prayer is that they have the radios tuned in and they can hear us tell them that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And that no man comes to the Father except through them, through Him. It's about Jesus. The third thing, we got to keep moving on this morning. This faith that we're talking about, listen to me, this is where it gets real for the Galatians, because Judaizers were coming in and they were trying to deceive the church. And so the reality is this, number three is this faith is not by law. What do you mean? It's not by the law. Look at verse 10 and 12 and follow with me if you will. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So if you're going to live by the law, guess what? You're going to die by the law. I mean, scripturally speaking, if you're going to live according to the law, then you better be ready to be obedient to every single 613 laws that exist in the Old Testament. Did I tell you that how many there are? 613 laws. Half of them say, do this. The other half say, don't do that. 613 laws. Some as simple as if you don't wash your hands before a meal, then you're impure and not able to partake of the food for today. Wow. You have to follow so many different laws. Now, we talk about that today. You know, well, it's good to wash your hands, preacher. Amen. It's good to wash your hands. A lot of germs going around there, right? But I'm going to tell you something. When you've got these little old boys at home, and they're coming in from outside, and they've just been playing and wallering all in the mud, you know what the first thing they're going to do to, if mama don't say, you go to that sink and wash them hands, they're going straight to a potato chip bag. And they don't care if their hands are caked with mud. They're going to go to that bag and they're going to open it up and then they'll just take one out after another. I know personally because I see it almost every day at my house. Ellis, did you wash your hands? Nope. Think you might want to do that? Yes, sir. That's how it is. Simple things. Can you be completely obedient to every letter of the law? Every letter of the law, can you do it? Because if you start in it, according to the word right here, then you must remain in it. And if you don't, this is what happens. As we talk about this faith not being by the law, what happens as a result of the law? The law leads to death. Because the law ultimately, I want to share this with you, is this law that we're talking about actually is sin when it becomes to lack of faith in Jesus Christ. And that's big. Because I don't want to be that individual that is continually, perpetually living a life of sin, disobeying God's word. Amen? But the most important thing is that I have a living, a real faith in Jesus Christ. And we talk about this believing. Do you have that kind of faith? Are you believing that? And we look at this. The just shall live by faith. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 4. This is where Paul gets this. I mean, he goes to the Old Testament. This is not something that new. The just shall live by faith. And we think about trying to maintain this life that is well-pleasing to God. And the most important thing for you that makes your life pleasing to God, listen to me, is that you have been washed in the blood. Is that you have received Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Because you know what is important about that blood? There's cleansing power in it. And when Jesus Christ looks at you, he doesn't see your self-righteousness. He sees your righteousness because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's where we need to be as believers. We need to understand the importance of true faith, real faith in Jesus Christ. For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So you have to be obedient to the law, and then you have to do them. You have to practice them. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. We're not justified by the law. And then the scripture even says this, it's obvious that we're not. And he goes on, he says, for the just shall live by faith. How are you living your life? Do you think that's important? Yes, preacher, it's important the way I live my life. That's the right response, by the way. Yes, preacher, it's important by the way I live my life. How are you living your life, friend? Preacher, I'm living my life by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Faith in Jesus Christ. Yet it says this, yet the law is not faith. We don't have to be wishy-washy. We don't have to wonder, how do we live our lives? There's no question here. It says, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. So if you're going to start in the law, you're going to finish in the law. I'm going to tell you, you can't score high enough on that test to enter in the kingdom of heaven. That's why I'm so thankful that God sent his one and only son for me. I'm so glad that God sent his one and only son for you. I'm so thankful that he did that. I'm so thankful that he thought of us. Listen to Romans chapter 3, verse 20. It says this, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. What I told you a while ago? By the law is the knowledge of sin. Wow. It's really powerful stuff. And so as we talk about the law, I want to tell you, the law cannot justify the sinner, and neither can it give you righteousness. Law is not able to do that. And it's important that you know that the law can't give you the gift of the Spirit, nor can it guarantee you your spiritual inheritance into God's heavenly kingdom. What can? The seal of the Holy Spirit, which is the promise of God, and we're going to see in the very last, which is given to you by faith in Jesus Christ. When God shows us these things through his word, I want to tell you, it excites me. And the prayer is that you would allow God's word to excite you that way as well. You mean, preacher, that it really is about faith? Absolutely. It's about faith in Jesus. Can we say that together? Listen, let's say it. It's about faith in Jesus. I think that's important. Let's get that right today. You ready on three? One, two, three. It's about faith in Jesus. In Jesus. It's not about faith in yourself. You can't do it. You can't be good enough. You can't maintain that spiritual fervor even by yourself. It's about faith in Jesus. The last thing that I submit to you this morning, important. Listen to this. This faith comes through Christ alone. It's about faith in Jesus. Look at Scripture, verse 13 and 14 in closing. It says this, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. He listened to it because Scripture tells us, Paul, as he was writing this, as he was moved by the Spirit. Understand, this was not upon his own accord. He didn't just begin to write. He wrote as he was moved by the Spirit, as he was moved by God. He says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, all people nations, all people groups except the Jews. That it might come upon the Gentiles in Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Don't you like that? Brad, don't you like that, receiving the promise of the Spirit through faith? I like that. You know why that's so important to me? Because of my faith, I received the promise of the Spirit. What is the promise of the Spirit? What is that? It's the guaranteed seal. It's that mark that has been placed on you. The promise of the Spirit is that because of your faith, Jesus is real and alive in your heart, and you have a promise in heaven. You are guaranteed your promise in heaven, the promise of the Spirit. You're going to heaven. A seal, it's that guaranteed mark of acceptance when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And so we see this as we look and talk about the curse of the law. We've already discussed it. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 23, it says this, He that hanged is accursed of God. He that hanged is accursed of God. And so ultimately what has happened is, kind of give you a little bit of background. It was when Jewish law, when you broke the Jewish law, almost all the time, death was by stoning. Almost all the time. Not all the time. We'll get to that in just a second. But almost all the time, death was by stoning. But when it was a very shameful form of sin, very public, very shameful form of sin, they would literally stone them and then hang them in a tree. They would just throw them up in a tree for everyone else to see. This is historical evidence that has proven this. And that's what they would do. They would stone them to death. And then they would take their corpse and that body would hang in the tree. And then that body, if it was one of those very shameful acts that they had violated according to the law, then the people would come by and they would see them hanging in the tree. They would know they were there for something very, very serious. And then that transitions for you and for me as we look at the scripture. It's not those who were hanging on a tree, but it's him who hung on a tree. For you and for me. As we transition this for us, he says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. What does that mean? That Christ has done it for you. That Christ has bought it for you. That Christ has redeemed you. He has purchased you literally with a price. That's what he's done. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. So now, here it is, Christ is taking upon him this sin is what happens. And when he went to the cross, your sins were nailed there. You get that? Do you understand that? Do you understand the power of that? Knowing that Jesus went to the cross and with because of believing in him, because of faith in Jesus Christ, your sin were nailed to the cross on Jesus. He took that weight for you, that punishment, that burden was upon him. Can you get excited about that? And listen, if you can't get excited about anything as a believer, you get excited knowing that Jesus took the punishment for you. Yes. Amen. And so verse 13, this means the purchase. It was ultimately, it talks about this redemption. It was to purchase a slave. But in scriptural days, when they purchased this slave, when they redeemed them to set them free. So Brad, I don't come to you and I don't purchase you as a slave for you to come to my house and you to do all of my chores. I purchase you and I say, you are set free. That's what this is talking about. That's what this being redeemed is talking about being set free. And so you're no longer a slave to the world. You're set free. No longer are you a slave to sin. You're set free. You're set free to trust and believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you'll do that and believe as Abraham believed, it's accounted to him for righteousness. As we begin to close this morning, I think we have to continue to ask ourselves that question is, where is our faith? Where is our heart? Who am I believing or what am I believing in for my salvation? And can I say today, if you're believing in anything other than Jesus Christ in the death, burial, and his resurrection, if you believe anything other than that, then before you leave today, my prayer is that you get it right because you've got it wrong. Please. Know that you don't have to be frustrated about your relationships. You don't have to be frustrated about your jobs. You don't have to be frustrated about anything in this world. You don't have to be trying to be that prim and proper everything. All you have to do is allow Jesus to live in and through you. Can I just say this? That's enough. That's enough. Because when you allow Jesus to live in and through you, he makes all the difference. And so today in closing, my prayer, where are you? Are you frustrated about something? spiritually speaking? Has that old devil been beating you over the head? Has he been just wearing you out? Do you just not know where to turn or what to believe? Well, my prayer is today, because of God's word, that you realize that your faith can move from being frustration to real and genuine if you'll believe the one who died on that old rugged cross, taking the curse for you, whose name is Jesus. What are you going to do with that? Friends, what are you going to do with that today? Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, Lord, today in the magnificent, most holy name of Jesus, Father, we just come before your throne of grace and mercy and love and patience. And Lord, we just ask that you'd look into our hearts. Blessed Father, that you would help us to realize that we can never be good enough on our own. We can never be perfect enough. We can never live well enough to find a secret access door into heaven. We can never search long enough. Father, help us all to understand, help the congregation to understand that we don't have to look any further than Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. Help us to realize that he carried the burden of our sin to Calvary's hill. Help us to realize that when he said on that cross, "It is finished," when he breathed his last, that he was talking about sin. Help us to realize today that we can be right with God through a relationship with Jesus. Help us to understand that our faith can be strong and it can be real, not because of our righteousness, but because of who Jesus is. It's not because who he was, it's because of who he is. And today, Father, I pray that those who have gathered, Lord, I don't know where their frustrations might be today. I don't know where they've been struggling spiritually. But Father, you've already searched their hearts. You know every beat that's taken place over this last hour. And Lord, my prayer is that you would move those hearts back to you. My prayer is today that they would realize the importance of believing. They would realize the importance of having faith. Not in a foreign God or false object, but in a real God whose name is Jesus. Father, we ask it today in his holy name. Amen. Would you stand this morning? I don't know what God is dealing with you about. I don't know what your concerns are. But today, will you just trust God with whatever it is you need to trust him with today? And then you respond accordingly as God leads you. Let's sing.